makes Christianity different from all the other religions in the world? Years ago, this question, I'll say it again, Ben, because you will have walked in going, what? What makes Christianity different from all the other religions of the world? So years ago, this very question was discussed at a conference, and the participants at this conference were all not arguing, but having some fairly vigorous debate about what it was. And some said, well, it's because God became man in the form of Jesus. Others said, no, other religions teach similar doctrines. Some said, what about the resurrection? No, it was argued. Other faiths believe that the dead can rise again. The discussion became a bit more heated. And then C.S. Lewis, a strong defender of Christianity, came in. He came in late and he sat down and he said, what's all this ruckus about? What's going on? When he learned that the debate was about the uniqueness of Christianity, he immediately commented, that's easy. Debate over. It's grace. Grace is the difference between Christianity and the rest of religion. He was actually right. At the very heart of what Christianity believes and stands for is the truth that God accepts us with no conditions when we put ourselves, our trust in Him, in the sacrifice of Jesus. Although all of us are helplessly sinful, God in grace forgives. He forgives us completely, not just a little bit, but He actually forgives. We are saved, not by how good we are, not by running around and doing lots of great things in the community, not by obeying a whole set of rules or being in church every week. No. His grace covers us. We are forgiven. We are pardoned. We receive the guarantee of eternal life with Him in heaven. If we accept Jesus dying on the cross and taking all the sin for all of mankind for all eternity. What an act. And if you want to get a picture of grace, I want you to think about God's absolute abhorrence of sin and death and the enemy, and contrast that with His love and forgiveness. Put those two together and you see something phenomenal about our God, that both of those two things are part of His character. Last week I mentioned a definition of grace, and I went around and got lots from some of you, and I also had some screened. But the one that I stood out for me and I want to remind you of again today is one from Max Licardo, which says, grace is God's best idea. It's His decision to ravage a people by love, rescue passionately, and to restore justly. And God isn't someone who's a far-off being who watches down and says, look at the mess they're in. He actually loves us with such love that He sent His one and only Son. And we looked and we saw that before Jesus came, God was already demonstrating grace, where he looked with favour upon a whole heap of different people. Noah, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, Esther, David, all of those people found favour in the eyes of God. And if you're not familiar with those stories, I invite you to get a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, you can get a Bible online just like that and start reading some of those stories. One of the passages in the Bible is from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, which talks about God's grace. And I'm going to invite all of those people who have a bit of paper with them, and you don't get out of it till next week. I'm going to do this today. Can I get you to line up across the front? Yep, right up there so everyone can see. Hold the words right up in front of you, and you're going to pass the mic along. Look, I don't know, you can shuffle yourselves.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world.
He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else.
But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ.
So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus.
God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God.
Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God.
Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
I'm going to read a description from a guy called Paul Zahl, and it's part of a book I've been reading. Grace is love that seeks you out when you have nothing to give in return. Grace is love coming at you that has nothing to do with you. Grace is being loved when you are completely unlovable. Grace is a love that has nothing to do with you, the beloved. It has everything and only to do with the lover. Who's the lover? God. Yeah. It's actually not about you. You're the recipient of that love. You know, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Not when we'd got, as I said last week, all our ducks lined up, got ourselves sorted. No. He loves us while we were still sinners. See, God's grace comes to us when we are broken and we have nothing to offer in return. And you know, you might have already received that grace and chosen to live your life with Jesus in your life. But it doesn't mean that you don't mess up or life doesn't get complicated and things get tough and your eyes get drawn away from following him and going, I trust you with my life, and we start to run our own show. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is my constant reminder. Stop trying to run your own show. The sovereign God who knows you better, who already sees your future, has it all sorted. And that's when you come back and sit under his grace and go, sorry, hands off again, I'm trusting in you. See, grace is not just the basis for our right standing with God, but our entire life needs to be grounded in grace. Through the riches of God's grace, we receive forgiveness. But it's his grace that helps us walk forward in our Christian walk. And that was what I was about to speak on today. But hey, that's next week. You know, part of what we do as a church is we come and we gather around the table and we celebrate communion. And if you're not a regular part of church, you might think, well, that's kind of weird. What does it mean? Because it does seem weird. But what does it mean? It means you say, I remember what you did, Jesus. When you obeyed God and you went to that cross and you said, oh, I'm taking on the sin of the entire world. And the Son of God was separated for a brief moment from the Father. He went through a hideous death. His blood was shed, his body was broken. And Jesus said to us after he was resurrected from the dead, I want you to do this when you meet. Why? To remember. Be reminded. As you're marching through life, worrying about all sorts of inane nonsense, I want you to stop and remember that sovereign God sent his precious and only Son to die for you. And for me, to demonstrate grace and love. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I'm actually going to get Noah to put on a song by a guy called Mac Brock. It's called I Am Loved. And I'm going to invite you whenever you're ready, at some point during that song, to come up, help yourself, and go back and do business with God. this is something to be taken seriously, but it actually doesn't have power as an act in itself. The power is in your relationship and your response to God. And so, if you've just come back to Him, or if you've just chosen Him, or whether you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time and your wheels have fallen off, do some praying and come out and partake and say thank you yet again for that amazing gift. Father God, we come and we remember the gift of Jesus. And Jesus, we say thank you for your obedience. Thank you for doing what the Father had organized. Thank you for breaking the power of sin and death over our lives. Thank you for taking on all the sin for all of mankind. Thank you for making a way for us to be forgiven and to become part of your family. Thank you that we can say, Abba, Father, to the Creator of the universe. And Lord, I give you thanks as we share this special remembrance time with our brothers and our sisters. We love you and we thank you for your grace that covers us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So just whenever you're ready, I'm going to get Noah to just put on the clip and help yourselves. If you don't want to participate, that's fine as well. There is no pressure. Thank you.